The big question in Southeast Alaska this weekend was, did you feel the quake? In some communities, it was, where'd you evacuate to, or did anything break? The 7.5 magnitude earthquake struck at 11:58 p.m. on Friday, with more than a dozen weaker aftershocks following for hours. The Tembler, which some called the midnight quake, hit about 60 miles west of Craig on Prince of Wales Island. KRBD's Layla Carey talked to people in Ketchikan and on Prince of Wales Island about the quake and its after effects.
Marble Island, population 5, is about as close as you can get to the epicenter of Saturday morning's earthquake and still be on land. The small island is just off the northwest coast of Prince of Wales Island, across from Edna Bay. Cindy Wyatt lives there with her husband and two children. They were awake when the earthquake hit because one of the children had gotten up for a midnight snack. He was headed back upstairs when...
We all kind of heard this, It was almost like a roaring, but not exactly. It's a very hard noise to describe. And then the house started shaking. Wind chimes started, you know, going off and stuff.
By the time they figured out what was happening and what they should do, the quake was over. It only lasted about a minute, but...
Tsunami is the next thing to worry about, right?
They checked their VHF radio, heard the alert, and decided to head up the hill. They'd practiced this before after an earthquake off British Columbia triggered a tsunami alert in late October.
And so, you know, we know the drill. Get your warm clothes on and we'll get out there. And it just turns out that in this case, by the time we found out exactly where it was too late, really, to have gotten away from a tsunami because we were so close.
There was a tsunami wave from the earthquake, which had struck at a depth of about 3 miles. However, the tsunami wasn't large enough to be a threat. The Tsunami Warning Center reported a half-foot rise in the water level at Port Alexander and just a few inches above normal in Sitka. But Wyatt says they didn't know that and stayed up the hill for quite some time. She hopes in the future, emergency alerts on the Marine Weather and Coast Guard channels will be updated more often and with more specific information.
I know from talking to my sister and some other friends that getting on Facebook, they knew more about what was going on than I did at this point. I mean, immediately, everyone, I guess, in the Southeast just about felt the earthquake and so was, you know, aware that something was going on. But yet for us out here with no cell phones and no easy internet access, it's only the VHF.
Wyatt says they don't know whether their island experienced any surge. She homeschools her children and says they'll do some research in hopes of building a system to measure any future tsunami surges. The earthquake's epicenter was about 70 miles west of Craig. Officials in that Prince of Wales Island community immediately activated their emergency response plan. That involves evacuating residents of low-lying and/or waterfront property and staging equipment in strategic locations. City planner Brian Templin says the earthquake was felt strongly in Craig.
A number of folks came into the EOC and had talked about, you know, stuff falling off the walls and that sort of thing. I don't think there was any major structural damage to anything, but the quake was certainly large enough to not only wake people up, but shake things up in their houses pretty good.
Initial reports were of a 7.7 magnitude earthquake. That later was downgraded to 7.5. After the Tembler hit, officials immediately issued a tsunami warning for all coastal areas of Southeast Alaska. The warning extended south to the northern tip of British Columbia's Vancouver Island and northwest to Cape Suckling, 75 miles southeast of Cordova. In Ketchikan, some people felt the earthquake while others slept right through the whole thing. City of Ketchikan crews checked area dams for structural damage soon after the quake and again later when there was more light. Emergency responders were on the watch as well in case a tsunami really did hit. South Tonga's Fire Department firefighter Stephen Rouge says they were aware of the earthquake right away.
The quake last night, we felt it here at Station 4 pretty well. The walls kind of started to rattle. The coffee cups on the walls were bouncing. The couches were moving around. We definitely felt it.
He says their fire chief was patrolling and keeping people updated.
Yeah, from about the time the quake happened last night, our chief, Steve Rydeen, was out in his command vehicle patrolling our district, making sure that everything was kosher. When the tsunami warning was in effect, every 30 minutes or so, he was updating our South Tonga Fire Department Facebook page.
The quake occurred along the Queen Charlotte Fault, which runs up the side of Haida Gwaii, and along the outer coast of southeast Alaska to Yakutat. In an interview following the late October earthquake, U.S. Forest Service geologist Jim Baichtal told KRBD that since 1898, which is as far back as records go, there have been 322 earthquakes along that fault, or about three per year. Of those, 34 had been greater than a magnitude 6. Now there's 35. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.